mazik of eight. And therefore we've already defined to some extent what Aish is. So therefore you should be able to answer this question very easily. Shaila came like to Basin like this. Reuven is learning in Kodal and he's a sofer. And Levi has ordered some mezuzahs from him. Levi does not learn in the Kodal, but Shimon does. Shimon learns in the same Kodal as Reuven the sofer, and Reuven asks Shimon a favor. You live near Levi, he's one of your neighbors. I wrote some mezuzahs for him. Please deliver these mezuzahs to Levi. Shimon says, with a pleasure, but with a condition. A pleasure with a condition. I'm willing to take these mezuzahs as long as I have no achrayot, no responsibility. I'm not a shomer at all on these mezuzahs. I'm just a delivery boy without responsibility. Reuven says, fine, I don't mind. You're yourself is good about me. I don't need responsibility. I'm giving it to you, Shimon. You deliver it to me. Right, so he hands over to Shimon the parchment, and Shimon puts it in his shirt pocket, and he goes home. The time he gets home, a lot of things has happened between Reuven giving over the parchment to Shimon and Shimon going home in Shimon's life. And really, when he comes home, he forgets all about the parshas that he has to deliver to Levi. So, night drives on, and he goes to bed, undresses, and he puts his shirt down on the floor. And he goes, gets dressed the following morning, with fresh clothes, and he goes to Kodal. Meanwhile, Shimon's wife in the house is going around picking up all the laundry. And the shirt is one of them, and it goes into a cycle, a washing cycle. Of course, the mezuzahs get hustled through such a process. And the shaila now arises, is anybody responsible here to pay for the damage to those mezuzahs? So let's say the story over quickly again. Not so quickly, but quickly. The story is like this. Reuven wrote mezuzahs to deliver to Levi. And Reuven is in Kodal, and he passes over to Shimon, his friend, and said, you live near Levi, could you deliver these mezuzahs? Gives it to Shimon. Shimon says, fine, with pleasure, no responsibility, I'm not a showman. Fine, so he puts it in his shirt pocket. So he goes home, he forgets all about the mezuzahs in his pocket, he undresses and gets in pyjamas, and he puts his shirt on the floor. The following morning, his wife goes round collecting all the laundry, puts it in the washing machine, no more mezuzahs, possible mezuzahs. Is anybody responsible now for damaging those mezuzahs over there?
Certainly not the wife.
I would think that, well, it's not so certainly, it depends on your relationship. But I would think that Shimon is responsible. Shimon is the one, the delivery guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he's responsible because not being a shomer doesn't pass you from Shia.
Yeah.
And clearly he was Poshea here.
So not being a shomer doesn't pot you from being a mazik. Yes.
Okay.
So the shayla is Shimon called a mazik? Is Shimon's wife a mazik? Yes. Let's ask Shimon's wife.
That depends.
I think we can get a uniform answer on this. Hopefully, Shimon's wife is a mazik or not a mazik?
That depends on whether it's normal for her to check pockets or not before she throws stuff in the laundry. It depends on if it's normal in their circles to do that.
Depends how big a family you have.
Okay, so it depends. It's not so partial.
What will you define her?
Mazik
Ba'onis. Mazik Ba'onis, okay. Can a human being be... What's there that you define her as being the onus? Can she be the wind? Can a human being be a wind? So we learned that a human being can be a wind for fire? Yes. Like we learned with the salt put in the sugar bags, that anyone who then bought those bags and passed them on and eventually got to the food is called the wind. Then now you're telling me she's totally out of the picture responsibility-wise because she's called an onus. Now she turns into a wind. Okay, what's Shimon? Is he responsible over here? Is he called the fire? Is he called... What's he doing? What is Shimon?
It's Mashiach.
No,
is that someone... Do you have to pay for negligence or do you pay for damage?
He's putting the knife on the corner of the roof.
What is Shimon doing? Is he the fire? Did he light a fire? Did he make a hole in the Rosh Hashanah? Did he take this mezuzah and tear it up? Which category of mazik do you want to make Shimon? What is Shimon? What's Shimon do? It's negligent, but in the chayav. Chayav means he has to be one of the mazikim. He's not, can't be a shomer. Shomer's chayav and negligent. He said clearly, I'm not a shomer.
Even if a person is not a shomer, he's still a shomer. He's still chayav and shia.
Nope. Shomer chinam's chayav and shia. And potter and everything else. Shomer soch is chayav and geneva eza. And they potter on onsin. Shol is chayav on onsin. And potter on meis machem is alochem. Correct? Those are the three categories. But you have to be a shomer chinam in order to be chayav on negligence. Says Shimon, I'm not taking any responsibility. I don't want to be even a shomer chinam. So if you're not even a shomer chinam and you're negligent, you can't be chayav, because only a shomer chinam is chayav for negligence. If you're not nothing,
except that we
then you're not chayav for negligence.
If you do something, you're dying.
Except for if you're mazik.
What
do you mean by you're dying? You take
like
a hammer and smash it, you're chayav.
No, it's like a diamond dealer who threw it in the garbage can.
Because you're called a mazik.
That was the reason for
that's
the
mazik.
Well, here, his combined forgetfulness and putting a shirt on the floor is his biyadai and damaging it.
How did he damage it?
So it's like he put the knife on the
roof. So you're saying it's like putting the knife on the roof. Okay. Let me ask you a question like this.
We'll pick it up.
We'll pick it up. You'll get the story eventually. When you put up the knife on the roof and the wind blows it off, what damages?
The knife.
It's
inherently dangerous.
That's fine. Now, when Shimon put down on the floor the shirt, because he forgot there's mezuzahs in the pocket, did the shirt damage?
No.
What damaged the mezuzahs?
The water.
Did Shimon ever touch the water?
No.
Did he ever create the water? No. So therefore, how can you compare putting down a shirt which has got mezuzahs, which Shimon doesn't own, he's just an agent, and which ends up in Washington gets damaged, how can you compare that to putting the knife on the roof where the actual thing he touched and he put there actually goes a step further and damages? How are they two comparable?
Because
I was dealing with not the thing that damages, but the thing that got damaged. That's what I'm touching, not the thing that damages. It's like putting down a glass vase on the floor in line with the knife which is on the roof. What's the halakha in such a case? There's a knife on the roof, on the ledge, which will be blown off in a normal wind. And I see that, and I put down some of these glass vases underneath, over there, and eventually wind blows and the knife goes and snatches that vase. Yes? What do we say is the halacha of somebody who did that? Is he chayav for damaging that glass vase? He didn't create the dangerous item. He put something in the path of the dangerous item. What's the halacha?
I would think he's chayav, but I guess he's not. I mean, if I put something in the line of a spreading fire, I wouldn't be chayav.
You tell me.
I would say yes.
Under what concept?
Under Aisha.
Yes. Ace, natural ace is when you... What's the natural ace? I lit a fire. I lit the thing which made the damage.
But what you you're putting, you know it's about to be damaged. If you know it's about to be damaged because you see the knife or you see the fire coming, it's more of a bore. You're putting
a. Why is it a bore?
It's a.
No, bore is when you're also digging a hole which creates. It's dangerous. What I'm actually doing actually damages. I dig a hole and that hole damages something else. Here I didn't do anything. I didn't create anything, do anything which actually damaged something else. All I did was put something in the line of something you could damage.
Point.
Well, how do you describe that? How do you define that?
It's what we call a distinction without a difference. The point of why a fire is higher is because I'm creating a scenario in which if nature is left to take its own course, something will get damaged. So what's the difference between like, with the damager or the damagee in the place? In both cases, it's going to happen the same thing.
Yeah.
You're not a murderer, but you are a bad
man. Hey, we'll get there. Maybe you are a murderer.
Really?
Yeah, okay. We'll get there in a few weeks' time. Maybe you are a murderer. But murdering has got different halachas to define it, different from damaging. So therefore, even if you are a murderer, you may not be called halachically a damager to the planet. We'll see in a few weeks. Let's look at first Mar Mokum. In Shul Chorot Simon Top Yutches Sif Yudal says like this: Hakofif Kamosa Shachaber Lifnei Hadleika. He takes some of these sheaf produce and he puts it in front of the fire. It's like our case. You're not creating a fire, you put someone's item in front of the fire. Kadeshi Gieba Alok, why are you doing that? Because you want the fire to go there and damage it. Im Kovafar, Bumoto Shitokula Halik, Legiba Rukhul Shu, Chai Peshalay. If you do it in a fashion whereby you're putting it now in a place where the fire can reach, which it couldn't reach before, you're now putting it in the line of the fire, then you're chayav to pay. Who's the chadish in this halacha from the Shulchan Aruch? That not only when you create a fire and it spreads, you're chayav, but you put something in the path of the fire, you're also going to be chayav.
With Kavana, that it will get damaged.
I don't know if the Kavana will make a difference. We'll see in a second whether it makes a difference. So therefore, in our case, when Shimon forgot the mezuzahs of Levi in his pockets, his shirt pockets, and he just put it on the floor, which is basically putting it in the path of the fire, which is called the washing machine, which destroys those mezuzahs. So even though we said you didn't create any fire, you didn't touch anything that, you didn't make anything which in the end damaged the item, all you did is you put the item in the path of the fire, but we just read out the Shulchan Aruch, when you put something in the path of the fire, you also hyped. Why? Says Tosfos and Sanhedrin, Davai Zayin Omid Aleph, which is Eric's sugya about killing somebody. But we'll do that in a few weeks' time. Ein chilik, says Tosfos. Be mekarev ha'esh etzel hadoga. There's no difference if making a fire and making it closer to an item to damage it with the fire which you're creating. To the mekarev hadoga etzel esh. Or putting something closer to the fire so that something could be damaged to the fire. So Tosfos is mechadish. That you're chayev mishum esh, not only when you create a fire which will eventually damage, but even if you put something in line with in the path of a fire, that's called you have made an esh in your chayev, even though you didn't actually do anything. You didn't actually do anything to the actual creation of the dangerous item. You put something in the path of it, that's called creating the fire as well. That's the chiddush of Tosfos, which we just read in the Shulchan Aruch as the Sakalot. So therefore we are now suggesting that Shimon, who took these mezuzahs and he forgot them in his shirt pocket, he took them off before going to bed and putting pajamas on, he put it on the floor. Shimon's wife picks it up in the morning where she's complete onus and put it into the washing machine. Therefore we're suggesting that even though Reuven even though Shimon didn't actually create the fire, i.e. the washing machine, he just put it in the line of the fire. He put the shirt, the mezuzahs, in the line of the washing machine. That's also going to be chayvim shum eish, and the wife is just the wind, as we learned. Human beings can be the wind, as long as they're not not held responsible for the actual action. So we're saying now that Shimon should be chayv to pay, even though he said, clearly, I'm not a shomer. Okay, you're not a shomer. You're going to be potter even if you're negligent. But here you're chayv, not because of negligence. You're chayv because you considered you made a fire which damaged the mezuzahs and you have to pay. Okay. Very good. Can I ask you a question at this stage? Is the comparison which I just made an accurate comparison? The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, the Tosfos are talking about a case. You're putting something in the line of the fire, and therefore it's like creating the fire. Is that accurate to say, therefore, Shimon put something in the line of the fire, therefore he's had to fight? Is it accurate comparison, or can we say there's a difference, and therefore we may not have to necessarily compare the two? Is there an accurate or not accurate comparison?
Obviously not accurate.
What does that mean, that statement which you just said? If she's the wind, because she's just doing something natural to do, once you put it there, then it doesn't matter. It's like the wind blowing the fire onto it. Yeah, that's what I mean, the line of fire. The fire's over there. I know the wind by nature is strong enough to push the fire to here, and I put it down over here on purpose, or knowing full well that the fire would come a natural way. Even though I didn't put it in the fire, I put it in the line of fire where the wind's going to blow it. So you need the wind, but I know the wind's going to blow it. Here also, I put it down on the floor, the wind, the wife is going to put it in the washing machine.
The wind is going to blow the fire to it versus the wind blowing it to the fire. Maybe different.
Well, Tosa said there's no difference.
Moshe says there's no difference whether you put it creating a fire and it's moving, or you create putting something in the line of the fire and it's moving.
He put it in the washing machine. When he puts it on the floor, that's putting it directly in the washing machine. He knows his wife is going to pick it up.
So therefore you say it's a direct comparison. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not helping me.
The fire, the outcome.
The wind is pushing the fire. The wind is pushing the fire.
The outcome is predicted with the fire. It's already predicting.
Those on the floor get picked up the following day by the wife and go into the washing.
Maybe there's a difference in the wind.
Why should that make a difference?
Though? It's only you. Tell you
the wind, if it's inevitable, they're going to do it.
Yeah, it's inevitable. She does it every Monday. Every Monday and Wednesdays. Mondays and Wednesdays. He came back on Sunday night. Yes, that's what we're saying. It's got the same, doesn't matter. You're creating fire and the wind's blowing the fire. Or you're putting something like the fire and the wind's blowing it into the fire.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. The only difference is that maybe one is amazing and one is not, but I'm not sure why that would be a difference.
Maybe it is, may or may not be the same. It's a different person, perhaps.
No, we saw a human being can be a wind. That's what we saw a few weeks ago. Okay, let's move on. So let's like this. Let me point out a difference to you. And then we'll see whether it makes a halakhic difference. The cases that we're discussing where you're chayev, you've got a fire, and you've got, let's say, his sweater, and either you move the fire or you create the fire and it's going to move on to the sweater, or you take the sweater and you put it in the fire. But the fire exists. There's a fire. Either I created the fire or I put it in line with the fire. Does the fire exist when Shimon put down the shirt on the floor? does it exist in existence in the world, physical existence in the world? What damaged the kashas? What damaged the mezuzahs? Where's the water? Is the water in the washing machine at the moment where Shimon puts down? Is it in the pipes? Is it in the washing machine where the damage actually takes place?
Well, the fire isn't where the damage actually takes place either. The fire is going to end up moving. Yeah. So, as far as in existence okay. in the world,
is this in the world in some form? But is it in the form of the fire? Correct. Correct. Is that called an existence to say that you put something in the line of an existing fire? And do we care? As long as it's going to be there eventually, maybe we don't care. Is it in existence? And even if it's not in existence, maybe because it's a bit removed, does that make a difference? Halachically. So let me point it out. Halacha, which is based on the Gemara of Baba Kama, and it says like this. Tosis says, Baba Kama, in Toma, Hahi Zaheshich Be Esanochish de Potza. There's a Gemara that says, a Gemara Baba Kama. What do you do? You see there's a snake. And you go ahead and take Shimon's hand, and you stick Shimon's hand into the mouth of the snake. And the snake bites. And poisons him. He doesn't die. We're not talking about death. Damages him. Are you chayev for damaging him? Says the Gemara. No, you're potter. You're potter. You stuck his hand into the mouth of the snake. Or you stuck his hand near enough to the snake where the snake's going to naturally just going to bite him. You're potter, high petition mine, a Russia gomel, hustle for ages, yeah, can't be part of a minion, potter for painful. Why? So Tosis says, I don't understand, Tosis says. Am I potter? Why are you potter? Why don't you have to pay money? To stop Yotan and Tokpi Anokas, she put his hand in the mouth of the snake. For Hishan, and the snake bites. The Chai Bishop Eishu. You who put his hand in the mouth of the snake should be hired for monetary damages because of the concept of Eish. Because there's no difference whether you create the fire and that fire spreads, or you put an item in the path of the fire. By putting his hand in the mouth of the snake, you have put his hand in the path of the fire, the poison in that snake. So you should be chayv mishum eish for paying for damages over there. Tosis question. So what does Tosis answer? The fata yanachi shikai sasim. It's not sophic. You can't say, well, maybe the snake won't bite, maybe it won't. It's definitely going to bite. The poison's going to go out. It's going to go into the Shimon's hand. It's definitely going to happen. So you definitely put something in the path of the fire. And putting path of the fire is time for Shemesh. We just learned. So why are you chayv? Says Tosas. Yeshloma. The Shani Hossam. This is based on the Gezeirus HaKosu. Shani Hossam.
Based on what?
Based on the Gezeirus HaKosu.
That's based on the Gezeirus
HaKosu. This answer. The Shani Hossam. A diet ain ha'aris ma'olam. Because the poison is not yet in the world when you put his hand in the snake's mouth.
Of course it's in the world.
It's not in the world, halachically in the world.
What does that mean?
What does it mean? You have to explain it to me in a second. But the Tosis is answering, in order to be mechayev for putting something in the path of the fire, it has to be the fire exists. It's not good enough, the fire definitely will exist. It definitely will exist. It definitely will create the damage. But you're not going to be chayv mishum eish unless when you put it in path for the fire is actually there. Why? Because there's the kosev, says, maves eish. The eish has to be there to be chayv. Yeah. Again,
poison is in the sac behind the tooth, it's not in the tooth. That's what
before we get to that stage. If it doesn't exist, even if it will definitely exist, it's not called, you put it, you made a fire.
It's
not called, you made a fire. You're a Rosh HaGomo, you're apostle for ages. You can't be part of a minion. No one can speak to you.
To interact with something else? Or no,
make your life a misery. But we can't force money to come out because we're restricted to the category of what fire is. And fire says creating a fire. And it's a Kiddush. You put something in the path of fire, that's also called creating the fire. But if the fire doesn't yet exist, then you can't say you created the fire. You just put something in the very place. I'm just going to cause great damage, but the fire doesn't exist. I can say I created it. I didn't do anything. When I'm actually doing something, I didn't create the fire. Yeah. As I put it down, the chiddush, when you said that's out, putting this down, which will get damaged, this sweater, is like I created that fire over there. But if I put it down, there's no fire there. How do you say it's like I created the fire? There's no fire there. Look, there's no fire. You can't say this action is creating that fire.
The snake is just a grandma. Grandma? It's just a grandma. I didn't do anything.
No, it's not
whenever
a grandma.
You put every look, every it's age not, it's and not every grandma is a grandma. The Torah right. says it's those are the type of grandmas we hire with you. So therefore, we said, is this coming under the category of grandma of age which are hired? In order to do that, you have to actually light a fire. Or you have to put something in the path of an existing fire where we can say, as you're putting it down, it's as if you actually lit that fire. Because it's there. You lit that fire, copy this. Copy this sweater, you lit the fire because you put it in the path of it. But if you put it in the path of a fire which doesn't exist yet, but it will definitely exist, you can't say you lit it. At that second, you can say you're putting it in a dangerous place, which is definitely a grommer.
So Ish is a grommer you're fired for.
Yes. All these are grommers.
A snake is grommy, no?
What?
A snake is grommy, no?
No. It's not grommy either. You have to call him grommy, we'll see. It doesn't come under that. Any case. So once you understand that this extra chiddush, or even when you don't create fire, you can be considered as made the fire by putting something in the way of an existing fire, that's called your made a fire. But if you put something in the way of a will be existing fire, you can't say you made the fire at that stage. Okay? So once you've said that, now we have to understand Tosis. Tosis says, when you put the hand in the mouth of the snake, the poison didn't exist. So therefore, you did not make the poison.
It's
a secretion. Definitely. Definitely will happen. As Thompson says, it's not a shiloh, will it happen? Definitely will happen. But the secretion not enough in order to machayev you to actually pay. Pay needs to be in the category. Bah, Eish, Odom, Mazik, or Momon, Mazik. Eish is a grommer you pay on, but you have to light the fire. Okay, this is even you don't physically light it, but you put it in the path of an existing fire, it's considered you actually lit that fire. But if it doesn't exist, you can't say you lit a non-existing fire. That's it. So therefore, you're going to be part of it. And the question is why is the poison not in existence? Very good, blondest and terror was saying. If the fire doesn't exist, but it definitely will exist, fire, we can accept that. That's not called lighting the fire. You can't say you're lighting a fire which doesn't yet exist as you're putting it down. But why does Tosis actually say it doesn't exist? Well, like you everyone said, it does, the poison exists. In the sacks of the snake, why doesn't the poison exist? That's the question.
How do we know there's not, because it's a live animal, like an egg that hasn't been hatched? How do we know it's not, because it's talking about a live animal, like in the case of an egg that has been hatched?
That's not Tosha's answer, doesn't say it's alive and he says because the poison doesn't exist. The so fire doesn't exist.
That's not in the alum. This is what you say about an egg which hasn't been laid even a minute before you lay.
What do you mean?
Even though it does, biology exists there, yes?
What are you referring to?
Eric's answering.
It's a live animal.
No, what are you referring to where it says it doesn't exist?
Why is it live?
It's a Yom-tuk. It's no land. Why is it no land? It was there 2 seconds before it's
Noah life. Just means it was born.
It means it wasn't in the world. It says it wasn't in the world.
No, it changed its status. Before
it says it wasn't in the world.
Before it was part of the chicken. Now it's an egg.
It was an egg before. It hasn't changed at all.
has no. changed realistically in the real physical world has changed at all.
So Eric wants to give a definition that something it doesn't exist because it's a part of an animal. Okay. Because you'll say the same thing, but the poison inside an animal is not considered has its own identity. It's a snake. It's not poison. It only gets its own identity as poison when it separates itself from the animal. So therefore, it's not considered an existence. You know physically it's there, but you can't give it its own identity when it's still inside the animal. Therefore, it doesn't exist. That's what Eric wants to suggest. Is there another way of suggesting why the poison doesn't exist?
It's like you said before, the poison isn't in the place of the damage. I'm just saying really, what you said earlier. I'm not saying it to
you. Okay. That. So?
Well, the fire is never in the place of the damage until it damages.
It is.
If I put something here and the fire is there, the fire is not in the place of damage. But if the wind blows it,
it's a place already in a position to actually be considered a muzzle. Let's make an extension of what we learned before. The water in the pipes. Water pipes are not yet in the position where they can damage the mezuzahs, and they're not got the shame of a mazik, not the water in the pipes, the pipe water at the moment. Not considered part of the washing machine cycle yet. Yeah. So therefore, it's not yet in the position where it can damage. Which doesn't just mean it's not yet moved, because as Matthias pointed out, every fire moves, you put it down and it moves and it's still called fire. We mean it's not called a mazik yet. You won't define the water in the pipes as a mazik in respect to the mezuzahs. When would you define the water as a mazik in the call it a mazik in respect to the mezuzahs? Only once it gets into the washing machine. So therefore, it's like Matthias wants to make a comparison of the egg, that it only gets a shame being called, oh, this water is no longer just water, it's actually called a mazik, when it's actually only moved into the position of being in the washing machine. Matthias, okay, when you light a fire, it's already called a mazik here. It's going to move, it's a mazik which is moving, but you created a mazik over here.
But according to that logic...
Is that so? And if he comes into the equivalent in front of the machine, and I'll do the washing, and he puts them into the machine, still not? Because he's still in the pipes, still hasn't done anything, she's just going to come press the button.
Maybe we have to, if we extend it that far, maybe we would. Maybe it would. Why is the difference? Yes, it's like putting the hand in the snake. Yeah, except for you put it into the snake, but the poison are just in the sack. Oh, at that stage. Yeah, it doesn't matter how close you put it. So you put it here, you put it there, put it there. If we're saying that this yisod, that Kolzman is in the sacks of the snake, it doesn't exist. And Kolzman, that the water's in the pipes, is not called a mazik, then correct, you're right. Excellent, Eric. Correct, I agree with you.
But according to that, you should be hired for the bite. Not for the poisoning, but when the snake bites you.
Yeah, okay, maybe the bite you are fine. But we're talking about the poison that damages it. Mar says, even though the poison damage, you're not fine because of the poisoning damage. Okay. So therefore, there's two ways to explain Tosus, like you said, because you know it's part of the animal and it has no entity itself. Or the more lobdish way of saying is that it's not called a mazik until it comes out, and therefore, if so, we can also relate it to the mezuzahs that you're called a mazik. Therefore, basically, were hand tied in this case where they could not machayev Shimon in his negligence. If he had done it with kavana, then on purpose, then for sure they would have the liberty to machayev him under those circumstances. Maybe because of gami, like you're discussing over there. But since it was negligence of forgetfulness, we have to go with the strict halacha of eish, and we can't machayev him eish based on this tosis. Okay?
It's a very strange lashon for Tosfos to use. They say it's not in position. Why would it say Eina Eres Baol?
Yeah, halachically. Okay,
where does he get that from?
So his chiddush starts up his question. Yeah, why is this? Why is it potzer? The Gemara says potzer. To understand why it's potzer, it should be eish. Yeah, based on the mathematics cheshbon I made. Eish is not only when you make a fire, but you put something in the line of the fire. So, and the Gemara says you're potzer when you put someone's hand in the line of the poison in the steak. So why is that? Oh, that must be that it's not cold in the line of the fire. Ah, Tosis fixed. Ah, I've got chiddush.
What kind of chiva are we talking about here? What kind of chiva are we talking about here?
Damages. Let's say nezik. Just nezik.
Just nezik.
Just nezik. Okay, let's move on to the next case. This case I love. Yes. Correct. This case I like. Because it's a classic case. It describes the nature of the business which this case is talking about. It's not uncommon. This particular scenario ends up in a bit of an uncommon way, but it's not uncommon, the facts of this case. This happens, Meis Jarkar Chaya, in the Fursen Meiser, in the Botte Dinim world, about 12 years ago, sir. More than that. 14 years ago now, getting older. 14 years. Reuven is buying a pub. What does he do? He wants to transfer money from his bank account in America. He doesn't want to lose on changing the money. So he doesn't want to go through the process of the bank charges. So he goes to the money changer. He transfers a very large sum, because it's for apartments, to a money changer. Fine. Problem is, before he has the opportunity to pull out that money for the transaction of buying the apartment, the money changer goes under. Bankrupt, runs, long runs away, half runs away, whatever, a normal scenario for money changers over a period of time. Sometimes they have a revival after a few years, and sometimes they don't. But quite normal for the nature of the business. Unless things have tightened up legally, which I don't believe they have so much recently. So, he goes under, and now Shmuz noises go out, he's gone under, and Reuven hears this, and he doesn't take things lying down. He goes to, finds out the address of the money changer, and he takes his car. Takes the money changer's car.
Is it the last one?
Yes, took the law into his own hands. The car is a very expensive car. It's quite new, very expensive. Over the 100,000 shekel mark of the car. Quite capable of covering a large percentage of the money he handed over. Now, he takes the car and he's driving around and he sees the petrol's low. So he goes into the petrol station. He fills it up with petrol and he goes into the petrol station to pay. Cash. As he's in the petrol station, the car blows up.
Blows up? Whoa. I guess other people were angry at him.
What happened? What happened was the money changer had borrowed money from the mafia. And then he wasn't paying back the regular person on the streets, he wasn't paying back the mafia. The mafia has their ways of dealing with people like that. And they planted a bomb underneath his car.
This is true.
I wonder if it was easy to steal.
Yes. Every fact, it happens all the time, except for the necessary, the blowing up the car. There's other things the mafia does. This is the case they blew up the car. It's common. I'm telling you, common thing with money changers. Now, Now in Basin. What's the shaila?
Who is in Basin?
The money changer.
He actually came to Basin?
And Ruvain. What's going on?
Yeah.
So, what's going on there? He owed Ruvain.
Oh, he's the money changer.
No, money changer owed Ruvain for the money that he took and didn't return 80,000 shekels, let's say. Yeah? The car is worth 120,000 shekels. So the money changer is saying like this. I owed you 80. You owe me 120. You owe me 40,000 shekels. He's changing. Look, I took a car which was useless, and therefore you still owe me the 80,000 shekels. Reuven said, you still owe me the 80,000 shekels. The money changer is saying, I owed you 80, but you stole 120. You never gave it back. You owe me 40.
Car, why was the car useless? He was using it.
Yeah. So, that's the discussion in this. Who owes who money? So, now, in order to define who owes who, we have to define what exactly did Reuven do by taking that car.
He was a gosler.
Did he steal the car?
To the extent of 40,000 shekel.
Or did he not steal the car?
Okay, then he's allowed to take it.
No, he's not allowed to take
it. Did he steal the car or did he not steal the car?
He took more than he was entitled to.
What happens if somebody owes you money and you take an item of his? What can we define that as?
If it's... So it's machal.
I say...
Mashkon.
How do you say a mashkon?
Well, if you give it then, not if he takes
it. Let's see. We could, in theory, you owe me money. You haven't got money. I want to take an item of yours as a mashkon, as collateral for my debt. Okay, a mashkon for my debt. That mashkon halachically can be the same value underneath the value or over the value. It doesn't make a difference what the value is in halachas of mashkon. What is the halacha of somebody who has a mashkin? What's his responsibility to that mashkin in respect to the owner of that? So let's say that Reuven took the car as a mashkin. What's his responsibility to that mashkin? Let's see. First Maravokin, Simonai base, Siv base, number 3. Hamava Eskavera ala mashkin. So he borrows money and he gives him a collateral. Ben Shilva Mars, Ben Shilva Paris. It doesn't matter if you let money, let Paris, fruits, produce. He's got in collateral. Ben Shemashkin Bashar Savar, Ben Shemashkin Bashar. It doesn't matter whether you got the collateral at the time of the loan. It doesn't matter whether you got the collateral after the loan. How is there? His obligation to that collateral, Shoma Soch. He has got responsibilities like a Shoma Soch. Okay? What's a Shomer Socher's responsibility? What's he chayv on and what's he potter on?
It's potter and ones, chayv and geneva ones.
He's chayv on geneva ones and potter on ones. Okay, so Reuven, time is like this. I took the card collateral. Collateral means I'm a Shomer Socher. Shomer Socher means I'm only responsible for the car if I'm negligent or it gets stolen, it gets lost. But for ones, I'm potter. Car blowing up because a mafia put a bomb underneath it. Is that called negligence, Geneva Vader, or Onsen? What do you think it's called?
It's Onsen, but it's not a
it's
master.
It's called Onsen, so I'm off the...
It's not a master.
I'm not responsible for any of the monetary value of the car. You, I took a car's collateral, I'm a Shomer Socher, I'm not paying for Onsen, it's Onsen, you still owe me the money, 80,000. That's his claim.
But it's not a master.
He's claiming a mashkin, Shomer Socher,
Shomer Onsen.
Okay, we'll see. What's the halacha now? If you're gazlan, though, what's the din? If you steal something and then it gets destroyed, what's your responsibility?
Even if nothing happens.
Even for Onsen, you're chayv a gazlan. Yes. So if he's a gazlan, then he's going to have to pay for the car for taking it. If he says collateral, then he doesn't have to pay. So we now have to define if him taking that car against the will of the borrower, does that mean it's not collateral and it's gonna, it can still be collateral? That's what we have to define. So says the Rambam.
First of all, I'm not convinced that he's a borrower.
He's definitely a borrower.
I think he's a thief. He never intended to give the guy the money. He knew he was going bankrupt.
By definition, you put money in a money changer, like putting money in the bank. Just it's, instead of being the Bank of Israel, it's called the Bank of Iceland.
Yeah, but if the bank knows they're never going to give you back that money, that if the bank knows full well, I'm not paying you back the money.
Oh, you're talking about a scenario. Well, yeah, we're talking about it.
But that.
Okay.
When was the bomb put on there? From before he took the car?
Or yes. Before took the car.
Mafia was not available for testimony.
We'll discuss. Let's discuss bit. First, let's discuss. Is it collateral or stealing? Says the Rambam. Achotav Mashkin. If you snatch a collateral, miyatal over from the borrower, Shlobrush is based on without the permission, Harizah Gazlan. If you don't get permission from the basin, you don't get permission from the borrower, and you just take it, you're called, not collateral, it's called your dozen. Even though he owes you money, for sure, if you enter the house, where the Torah says clearly you can never enter the person that lends his house, and you take it, for sure you're considered a dozen. The Torah says, what stammer, you have to stand outside, you can never take collateral by going into the person's house. So says the Rambam clearly, you take collateral without permission of basin, without permission of the lender, and you enter his house and take it, you're called a gazan. If you're a gazan, says the money changer, gazan, you stole the car, you're chayv and onsen, so it's an onus, you're chayv, you owe me 40,000 shekels. Okay, so that's what the money changer times back. Problem is, like this. There's another Rambam. Let's look at that Rambam was in Hilchos Gezeila Vabeza Perek Gimel Halacha Tezai. Let's look at another Rambam. A Rambam in Hilchos Milva Velova Perek Gimel Halacha Hey. It says over there, also Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. Erkot HaMashkin Es Chaber Vabeza. Whether you took collateral and basin. Oh, Shemashkin Biyota Bezuru. Or you took collateral by force. You took collateral, not in basin, but by force. Omer daslo, or with permission of the lender. Three scenarios. Either through basin, or by force, or with permission of the lender. Im ish oniu, mashkin zovishu sorachlo, harizem mitzah, lachsevo avot, beishu sorachlo. No, if the guy you're taking the collateral from is a poor person, the collateral is considered yours, it's good collateral, just you have to give it back whenever he needs it, and then you can take it back to you. Give it back and take it back and back and back. That's what collateral is. Collateral you take, and whenever he needs it, you give it to him to use, and then you take it back. Says the Rambam over here, that even though you took the collateral without permission of this, without the permission of the lender, but the force is called collateral.
He doesn't say without the permission.
It's called collateral. Says that's the one example.
No. Show one is in Basin and the other is Bezroa.
No.
Bezroa means he did it. He did like he says here that he took it.
No.
How cold they'd be out of low.
The Basin means with the Rishusa Basin. Bezroa means
I don't think
without
so.
Anyone just. Force.
Because you have a Chotei Shulabishus Basin, which means you can have a Chotei Pishus Basin.
So here we've got a Stira, which all the Achronim ask, between the two Rambams. Both Rambams are Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, so it's not just a Stira in the Rambams, it's a Stira in the Halacha. What place the Rambam says you take a collateral without permission, you're Gazan. What place it says you take a collateral by force, which means without permission, is also, it's called collateral. And so what's going on? Are you a gazan and therefore chayv for the car and you have to owe him 40,000 shekels? Or you can consider collateral on your shomer socha and you're part of the car and he owes you 80,000 shekels? What's going on? Two Rambams, two shulchan aruchs, absolutely conflicting with each other. That's how the Achronim asked the question. So we're going to finish tonight with the answer of the Achi Es. Chaim Ozer Kaczynski, the Godzor Hadar of his generation, says like this. The Mashukos of Harambam, Haizeh Gazan, when the Rambam says you take it without permission, you'll call the Gassan. Mari, it's talking about Kodim Shinevaru Hachiv Bebeistin. Before you've proven in Beistin that he owes you money. If you haven't yet proven in Beistin that he owes you the money, and you go ahead and you know he owes you money, but you haven't proven to anybody else, but you go ahead and take an action, you'll call the Gassan the next stage. But if you've already gone to Basin, you've already proven that he owes you money. You only got an issa of going into his house, but Gazan no hafi, you're not called the Gazan. Because you're taking money as a collateral for a debt which everyone knows and established he owes. Says the Chaim Ozer, what's the difference in the Rambam's? Both cases are talking about against the will and without permission to actually take that.
No, it's with permission.
Both cases. But one case is talking about you going in to take the collateral before anybody has established that you are owed the money. You just know yourself, but no one else knows it. And then you're called a customer. But if you've already proven a basin and established and it's paskens and halacha that this guy owes you money and it's given up a sack that he owes you the money, the 80,000 shekels. And at that stage, you went without permission to go into his house and take collateral. You've done an issa going into the house, but you're not called a gazan at that stage. And you're only called, it's called a collateral. So therefore, what was the case? In our case, did he go in after establishing in Basin he's owed money, or did he only go in before it was established in Basin he was owed money? What stage did he go in?
It doesn't matter because he took more money than he was owed.
No, it doesn't matter. Collateral can be even more.
Only if it's voluntary, not if it's voluntary.
It happened before he went to Basin, unless you say that person going bankrupt is borrower that he owes him money.
Anyone in the street can come up and say, he owes me money, he owes me money.
He admits that he owes him money.
He admits he owes him money, but it's after the fact. If the Rambam is saying that you can only take collateral, halakhah to be considered collateral, once you've gone through the correct process, which prove your points, and then take the collateral, take the collateral before you prove your point, you're called a gazan in that stage.
It's motive that he owed the money.
Now he's motive. He's gone through the wrong process.
He wasn't taking it as a mashkon. He was either taking it to sell it, or he's taking it to keep it.
No, he's taking it as
collateral is in case you don't
get it back. No, he's taking it as collateral. He says he's taking it as collateral. So therefore, at this stage, we'll leave it this week. Is that he's considered a gazlan? A gazlan, and therefore it's chayv and otzin, and therefore he owes the money changer 40,000 shekels at this stage. We'll see next week whether things change.
Yeah. I can't give it over at the Shabbat table halfway.
Yes, you can. You can, just like I gave it over.
To be continued. Come back next Shabbos.